This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So in this gathering, what I wanted to do is actually share two pieces of advice. And these two pieces of advice I heard Sheikh Zulfikar give to me and to other individuals. So I thought that why don't I just pass them on to you? Actually, I don't know why sometimes they just pop up in your mind, but so I just wanted to share those two pieces of advice. Okay, the first piece of advice is that he used to say to us that don't be like unmarked fruit. Don't be like unmarked fruit. So obviously that requires some tafsir. What does it mean to be unmarked fruit? So if you look at people who are into growing fruits, like grapefruits, the farmers who grow the grapefruits, they know the lineage of each tree from which the fruit arises. So for example, let's take oranges, right? There's clementine oranges, there's navel oranges, there's this orange, there's that orange. And people who are very into this, I don't know if you've ever gone to these websites where they sell fruit. You know, they sell you the very expensive fruit and they send it to your home, not the one that you buy in the grocery store. Individual farms. They have particular trees, right? So they say, okay, this is Texas citrus grapefruit. It's from this lineage of this type of tree, and then it produces a very valuable fruit. So what they do is, when they're preparing to send out these gift boxes of fruits, what they do is they package the fruit according to the lineage of the tree. Then they mark on that box that this is from this tree, and it takes on a particular value. This is from this tree, it takes on another particular value. This is from another tree, it takes on that particular value. So that's called marked fruit. And marked fruit has a very high value. Now, at the same time, what happens is, as they're collecting all the fruit from the trees, inevitably there's going to be some fruit on the ground. That's the fruit that fell by itself. Or, you know, some birds came on the branch and the fruit fell down or something knocked it off. And what happens is the trees are so close to each other that sometimes they can't tell when they see a piece of fruit on the ground which tree it came from. So they put that in a separate crate and they don't mark that. So that's unmarked fruit. Now, unmarked fruit has a much lower value as compared to marked fruit. All right, so how does that apply? That's just the background, right? So he used to say, don't be like unmarked fruit. Now, what does that mean? That means that you should always recognize that we have a lineage from which we took our deen. We have a lineage from which we took our deen. This is something that really unfortunately plagues people from the subcontinent especially. So everything that we take from our deen, all this knowledge that exists in our forefathers, all of the efforts that our forefathers have made from this deen, this is all lineage based. All right? So we come from a very special tree. We're not just unmarked fruit just laying on the ground, nobody knows where we came from. We come from a very special tree. And that tree traces itself back all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in this day and age, what happens is people become very confused about their lineage. Even people from the subcontinent, they assume that Arabic is not the mother tongue, right? So therefore, knowledge is somehow deficient in the subcontinent, and it must be proficiently present in the Arab countries, because in the Arab countries you find that everybody speaks Arabic as their mother tongue, but that's not the truth. There are very incredible scholars that came from the subcontinent. And those scholars from the subcontinent, they represent our forefathers, they represent our heritage. That's why we have the deen that we have. When you go around the United States and you see the activity that's present in the deen, in every place you're going to find a strong component of people from the subcontinent influencing Islam in that part of the world. Now you think about it, the people from the subcontinent, right, Pakistan and India, they're converts into the deen in the end. They weren't the original people upon whom the deen was revealed. In the end, they're still converts into the deen. And you see that so much of the deen is being held up by their efforts, right? As was present if you go back 100 years on the, you know, the Bosnians and other different communities, and even continues till this day. But you'll see the prevalence of the subcontinent. That didn't come out of nowhere. That's not just unmarked fruit that fell on the ground. We have a very strong tradition. And if you go through and you read about that tradition, you'll begin to see that these scholars were incredible. They represented the pinnacle of knowledge, and they preserved the deen in a way that left the world envious. That's the way that they preserved the deen. So, unfortunately, in this day and age, we find ourselves very much unmarked. Now, why is that a problem? If you know anybody, I know a couple people like this, and I'm sure everybody has someone. You know, if you know someone who their parents left them when they were young, or their father left them when they were young, or let's say they somehow lost their parents when they were young, you'll see that they are very uncomfortable with themselves. And sometimes you'll read in the newspaper, for example, that there's this person, he lost his father when he was 3. Then he spends 10 years trying to find his father, right? He'll go on this long, long journey. He says, I just couldn't live in peace. I just couldn't be comfortable with myself because I wanted to know who my father was. I wanted to meet my father. So people who don't know their lineage, it makes them very uncomfortable about themselves. And it leaves them with a void within themselves. And then that void is never satisfied until they discover who they really are. So in the same way, we should recognize that we have a very strong lineage. We come from a very strong lineage. And unfortunately, we come into an environment like America, we get very confused about who we are, we don't know who our forefathers are, we don't know who our elders are, we begin to leave the path of our elders, and instead of tying ourselves to this, you know, this valuable lineage, we become lost and we become confused about who we really are. So it's very important. And we should make a habit out of this. And in fact, Sheikh Zulfikar used to tell us to make a habit out of this, that we become very familiar with our akabirin. He used to sit down and he used to tell us about the various mashayikh that passed through this silsila. Right? The purpose wasn't necessarily to tell stories. Oh, look, at this type of person came, this type of person came. It was to connect us back to our lineage, to show that, look, the people before you were very deep in their dhikr of Allah. And that you're coming from this same nisba, and that this is what's expected of you as well. You should live up to your lineage. Right? Sometimes people say that to their children as well. Don't you know that you're the son of Mr. Smith? You should live up to his, you should live up to the Smith name. That's what they'll tell their child, right? What do they mean by that? They mean, but look back at your lineage. Look how respected it is. You too should recognize that you come from this lineage and you should live up to it. So in the same way, it's very important that we study the lineage of our knowledge, which goes right through the scholars of the subcontinent, and we should study their lives, we should read about their lives, we should understand what they went through to get the knowledge, and you'll begin to see what a great tradition it really is, right? Number one. Number two, the same thing with our mashayikh that came before us. We should read about their lives, we should know who they are, we should study what they did, because that makes us back, ties us back into our lineage. So that's the first piece of advice. And that actually advice is sufficient. But the second piece of advice was that he used to say that you should recognize that no gathering is established to be permanent. No gathering is established to be permanent. Now the example of this and the pinnacle of it is basically the revelation of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Okay? When this surah of the Quran was revealed, which basically is giving the glad tidings that this hard work of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam over so many years will now result in people coming into the deen in large, large numbers. So basically, this verse, or this actually surah, is giving the glad tidings of the success of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and its final culmination in tons of people coming into the deen. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Now when that was revealed, the Sahaba all rejoiced. They said, SubhanAllah, years and years of sacrifice, years and years of effort, years and years of devoting ourselves to this mission, and now Allah is giving us the glad tidings that people will come in crowds into the deen. Everybody was rejoicing, except one. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When that surah was revealed, he sat crying. So people, they were shocked. They said, you spent so many years sacrificing, look at all of the work that we've put in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the glad tidings that people are now going to come into this message and worship Allah the way they were supposed to worship Allah. Why are you crying? He said, because now I know that the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is complete. And so if the mission of the Prophet alayhi salam is complete, it means that he too will no longer remain. So that this actually, while it seems like a glad tiding that so many people will come into the deen, it actually, on the other hand, is a warning that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to be taken up from away from this earth very shortly. So this was the death. But see, there was an understanding that no gathering is created to be permanent. They knew in the back of their mind that this was not going to last forever, right? That there will come a day when the Prophet ﷺ will be separated from the community in that way. So that's the basis and the principle upon which we take advantage of our gatherings. So he used to say to us, no gathering is permanent. Take advantage of these opportunities. I'm sitting here with you now. You have the opportunity to do the work you're supposed to do, to put your time into the dhikr, to be regular in your attendance. Because see, these days will not last. And I'll tell you, people go back in their life and they say, you know, I have regrets. Somebody says, okay, I was going to buy this house. I didn't buy the house in 1997. I should have bought it in 1997. Now the housing market has doubled. Oh, I regret that, right? So people will come up with all these regrets as they reflect on their life. I'll tell you, I look back at my life and the biggest regret that I have is that those moments that I had the opportunity to take advantage, I didn't fully take advantage. Now those moments are just dreams in my mind. You know, they'd exist as if they were just never even occurred. I sit back and I think, subhanAllah, I had this opportunity to spend time with my shaykh, this opportunity to spend time with my shaykh, and I didn't max out on it. Right? I did whatever I could, whatever I understood at that time, but now in retrospect, right, I look back and that's a huge regret. Because those gatherings are no longer. Those opportunities are no longer. He used to say that, he used to tell this to his, there used to be like a small gathering, similar to this type of gathering, in the very beginning stages when he started training people. And maybe the first 2-3 years while he was in this initial stage of training people, when he had just obtained his khilafah, he used to regularly sit in a small gathering in his town like this, right? And then what happened was, as he became more busy, he began to travel, he got more, there were more students coming to him, etc. Then he started having to travel, and he was very rarely at home. In fact, he would spend 2 weeks in that city in a year, as opposed to the 52, 53 weeks that he used to spend, right? So then people used to say later on, they used to say, oh, we made a big mistake. Oh, we lost out. We didn't take full advantage. There used to be that every single week we used to sit here. Now that opportunity no longer remains. So see, these gatherings, they are never designed to be permanent. They are never designed to be permanent. People take advantage. You take what you can take. You put your full effort in. Try to take as much as you can out of these gatherings, because they will not be there tomorrow. They just will not remain. And it's interesting, because I'll meet people who met other, you know, like my sheikh, right? And then they'll say, oh, you know, he came to me and he came to my masjid and he used to regularly be there and I didn't take advantage of it. I didn't even know what was going on. Now those opportunities are gone. I regret that so much. And I hear them telling me these stories and I think, if I was him, if I had that chance, I would have been there constantly, right? But who knows if I would have been there constantly? You never know. The Sahaba, they took advantage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the thing that you have to learn from the Sahaba. Right? They took full advantage of the Prophet ﷺ. And when he left them, they were totally trained and totally prepared to do what they needed to do. Although they had their sense of loss, right? But you think about it this way, right? He was able to stand in front of them and ask them, did I not complete what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to complete? And all of them were able to say, yes, we testify that you have completed your spread of the message. And then the Prophet ﷺ made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the witness that they testified. That's very rare. That's very unique, right? There's no place in history where you're going to find that an individual can say that I did everything I wanted to do. Pick up the biography, the autobiographies of people, right? They'll say, oh, I had so many other great ideas, but I became weak and I couldn't write and I couldn't think and I couldn't this and I couldn't that. Everybody in the end, they're limited. But here you have an example. The Prophet is standing in front of everybody and saying, have I not delivered the message that I was supposed to deliver to you? And everybody's saying, yes, you completed your message. And then he's making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his witness that he has completed the spread of the message that was placed on his shoulders. So, subhanAllah, they took advantage of that. They were able to fully max out on what the Prophet ﷺ brought them. But that's because they recognized that these gatherings were not permanent. So you have to recognize this point as well. In this limited time, which we call life, take full advantage. Don't assume a moment to be without value. Every moment has value. Every gathering has its purpose. Every time we sit together, there is some benefit to be taken, whether it be from the fact that I'm talking, or whether it be from the fact that you're meeting other people around you, or whether it be from the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us, even for just making the effort to come to the masjid. So the whole gathering is blessed. There's benefit upon benefit upon benefit, but you have to max out on it because these opportunities don't remain. Who knows where ICC will be 200 years from now, right? Who knows where each of us will be 10 years from now, 5 years from now? Life just changes. Life is made that way. It's always dynamic. It's never static. So advice number one, don't be unmarked fruit. And advice number two, take full advantage of the opportunities as they present themselves to you, because they don't last. They're made to move. They're made to change. They're made to go to different places so that other people can benefit as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to take advantage of these few words of advice. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.